Welcome to the Infinite Life Podcast. I'm your host, Katish Haberfield. This podcast is a journey of discovery as we learn how the soul evolves over various incarnations to understand all about the complexities of being a human being who has to bravely navigate viewing life as a non-dualistic struggle between good and evil through consciousness-raising experiences that test our valor.
Welcome back to the Infinite Life Podcast with me, your host, Katish Haberfield. This is season 9. First 8 seasons of the Infinite Life Podcast were dedicated to showing proof of reincarnation and explaining through case studies the journey of souls. There was no direct teaching involved in these seasons. They were simply either conversations with guests, or the majority of the 94 episodes were actual case studies as live recorded sessions in regression therapy sessions. All teaching was implied and was up to you to ascertain the lessons from the sessions. However, from now on, I will be using the podcast to teach spiritual concepts that I believe are important to understand. These are concepts not only linked to the content of the case studies that we've done in the previous 94 episodes, but they will also include new content. Everything I will be teaching you has been taught to me by understanding the journey of my own soul and in direct teaching from my higher self. We all learn differently. However, I can promise you that to embody the teachings, you will need to directly experience them. This experience process is best encountered through non-local awareness so that the realization can be delivered via the subconscious mind to the conscious mind. Now, this is something that's probably opposite to what you've been taught. Pretty much most spiritual teaching is taught in a classroom or in a course where you hear somebody talk and then you expect your conscious mind to absorb it, for you to have aha moments, and then for it to be embedded and embodied. However, what I have discovered is that this is not actually the case of how your mind actually works. So if you go to my website, you can see that I have updated this based on my observation from the 94 case studies. My observation is that there is a unilateral feedback loop between the superconscious mind and the conscious mind via the subconscious mind. So it goes superconscious mind, which is the mind of all memories, events, feelings, thoughts, and emotions in all lifetimes. The subconscious mind, which is focusing on your current incarnation, and then the conscious mind, which is your waking consciousness. In order for the mind to develop a new neurological pathway, we must create a new feedback loop between the conscious mind and the superconscious mind, making it bilateral. It actually is only unilateral for most people. To do this, there is no shortcut. You have to experience visible change as a result of the superconscious mind change. And then the more you do this, the more that you create a new neural pathway for the new seeds to get it and links to get established, so that when you have a conscious realization, it is reverse looped back to the superconscious mind. Until then, this is the reason why your conscious realizations don't have any effect on your behavioral change, because you need your superconscious mind to overwrite and heal anything that you've experienced in other incarnations that have made an energy imprint on your energetic field. In order for this to occur, for us to start the process of you creating a bilateral feedback system between the superconscious mind and the conscious mind, we're going to need to teach you the difference between spiritual reality and our perception of reality. Now, some topics that we will cover on the podcast from now on may trigger you, depending upon the depth of the energetic charge you are storing in your soul's energy field. Be brave and go there anyway. as my higher self has been constantly reminding me as I have been embodying these concepts myself, stay the course. I promise it's worth it. Before we begin, let's recap some energetic basics. I'm going to assume you've listened to at least 3 episodes of the podcast, to have followed at least one guest through regression sessions, potentially age regression, past life regressions, and maybe a future life progression or life between lives progression. You need to understand the basics of reincarnation. If you haven't, please stop, go back and listen to 3 episodes, and we'll see you later on. During the podcast from now on, if something I say triggers you or confronts you, or seems to be contradictory to your perception of reality, take a deep breath, just breathe. Let your body have a chance to absorb the information. Tom Kenyon also recommends putting an imaginary box beside you and using it to store any concepts that you don't perceive to be an accurate reflection of your experience. You can come back to them later. Yes, I am reading off notes. I've made 55 pages of notes for this season so far. Let's just briefly talk about the human energy body. Now, this is a widely known concept that is talked about by many teachers in the spiritual world and also in the scientific world. Now, the human body is energy comprised of many interlocking and inseparable layers. Each has a specific role to play in the context of these teachings. We're looking at the energy bodies in terms of how they influence the soul's journey through each incarnation. So, to look at it, we have the causal body, which is also known as the atomic body, which is the higher self, the mental body, which is the details, the mental impressions that we have from our thoughts, the astral body, which is the home of our emotions, the etheric body, which is dependent arising on the physical body. So these are all the energy bodies that we have as a human being. It's not just our physical body. So simply, when we are going through all of these concepts, what we're asking is, what is the reality of my life or the situation that I'm facing at the moment? How is my perception of my life influenced by my energy bodies, and to what extent am I operating in a set of illusions? These illusions from this incarnation or another, or many. Truth is relative to the self, so your illusions are your reality and the framework that you operate within. When we can remove these illusions, see the spiritual reality, we can then heal ourselves and understand how our soul has evolved. Finally, we understand why we are the way we are, and we unlock the power of the higher self within. So, to make it a little bit less dry and tell some stories, I'm going to be tackling the subject of the spiritual reality of love. I start with this, as my soul has needed to learn this and heal this, as this is where my soul has had the deepest energetic imprints upon all energy bodies due to my illusions of love that were in stark contrast to the reality of love in all incarnations. I can tell you right now, I never thought I'd be teaching about love. And just to get to this point, I've had to confront a lot of my own fears and illusions and mental perceptions, emotional perceptions about love. So when I talked about the energy bodies, I will be talking a little bit later on about how each of these energy layers actually creates perceptions which influence our reality. But for the moment, let's simply talk about love. Let's talk about love. We talk about illusions of reality. Life is just simply quite easy to see the filters, the perception filters that we exist through. So love both creates our reality and distorts our reality through the illusions that we experience based on perceptions. So we have to get clear on love as a spiritual concept and as a practical concept. As a spiritual concept, love means seeing through the lens of non-duality. In non-duality, we look at the world from the perspective of the creator or source energy. When the creator creates, it is energetically. It is neither good nor bad, it is just energy. Therefore, the creator has no perception, it is just creation. The creator creates with an intention, a purpose in mind for the energy. What happens next is dependent upon the energy itself and how it reacts to the environment within which it is placed. The creator gives full freedom to the energy and energetically says, "What would you like to do with yourself? What can we co-create together?" There is no emotion involved. There is no judgment. There is no mentality. Just freedom of energetic expression. Naturally, this statement is not necessarily the experience of human beings who live in a dualistic environment and who have to experience reactions due to mental perceptions and all other sensory perceptions, which are based on experience, values, beliefs, judgments, emotions, and thoughts. So when we look at the world from the spiritual perspective of love, we are simply asked to see what is. This is difficult because our perception filters make it hard to simply see what is. For example, if you look at the what is, you would say the cat is black. It's just simple. It's a cat. It's black in color, which is a state. Anything else that you then put after the statement about the cat is a perception filter. It's a nice cat. It's a nasty cat. It's a temperamental cat. The color of the cat is pretty. It's a raggedy cat. Whatever. They're all, I love the cat. I hate the cat. They're all filters based on your experience with the cat. So distilling a situation to the bare bones, we can see what it is, and then we can see how we have built up an illusion around what is. Thus, we can say at the basic level, human love is an illusion. There are only ever two people or beings who are simply interacting with each other. That's it. Two people talking, two people making love, two people kissing, two people eating, two people living in the same house. If you were to observe it from somebody from another planet, they would just see two human beings interacting together. That's the reality of what it is. Our humanness puts on the perception filters based on our superconscious mind's catalogue of our experiences. This catalogue asks, when have I seen a similar interaction before? And then it cross-references it to put judgment and perception filters on top so that we can understand what is going on. This determines how we feel, talk, and behave in relation to this interaction. As a spiritual concept, love is not an emotion. Love is simply and completely freedom of energetic flow. It says, this energy wishes to go there, here, do this, so it is and shall be. And it's the only definition of freedom at the spiritual level. In romantic human interactions, we begin to see how easily we get led astray from the simple spiritual concept. For now, two humans' energy leads them to an interaction. So you've got two people, their energy leads them to interact together. Their energy is magnetized or repelled according to the charge of the energy. The type of charge of the energy between the two people having an interaction is based upon the information contained within the energy field surrounding each human being. This information is a blueprint of the soul's experience. Note the word and the use of the word soul, not individual. Each soul has experienced many concurrent lifetimes. Each lifetime contains information which gets imprinted into the energy field. This information is stored in groups. Most people understand the different energy bodies, as we explained before, causal, mental, astral, etheric, and physical. Where there are many examples of information that is stored together, it is a deeper imprint on that particular energy field. The deeper the imprint, the greater the presence of the energy field. The greater the presence in the energy field, the quicker the information is exchanged between the two human beings who are interacting. So for example, person A interacts with person B. The physical energy body contains deep imprint from person about people with red hair. Red hair is simply a physical characteristic and in itself means nothing. It just is. Person A may have an imprint about males or females or both with red hair. It actually makes no difference unless the astral or mental body or both have a deep imprint about humans with red hair. These imprint perceptions, if they are charged or deep enough. The type of charge is determined by the content of that imprint. For example, person A might have 100 imprints with red-headed human beings across different incarnations. 57 of these might be with people historically described as Europeans, 22 with women, 35 with males. If the imprints are deeper with the biological or perceived gender of person B, there's matching, then there is a match and the charge is activated. So let's say person B is a different biological gender than person A. The charge is emotional, that is, in the astral body layer of the energy, a feeling will be produced that matches the deep imprint. It just is. The feeling arises, the emotion arises. The mind then registers this feeling and says, I feel anger, happiness, sad, curiosity, whatever the feeling is. That's interesting. But this happens in a split second. So the subconscious reaction is produced based upon that imprint. Person A is therefore either positively or negatively charged energetically towards this person without realizing the mechanics behind this. So if the overwhelming charge is negative, they will be repelled by the energy of person B and will naturally be inclined to move away. Where we need to pay attention is if an inexplicable reaction occurs that is not based on the logical experience of the person. This is where the superconscious mind is sending the subconscious mind a warning or a trigger to tell them to behave in a certain way based upon the depth of the link between the depth of the impression of the lifetimes the soul has experienced with other souls with red hair. Thus, person A may react strongly in favor of the redhead if they have something to heal or if they have a soul desire to replicate a positive experience with a redhead. So if they have a strong negative experience with a incarnation and are naturally inclined to be repelled to redheads, but the soul wants them to overcome this, they may suddenly be curious rather than repelled energetically. The same example can be used with any physical characteristic. Person A may say, I don't usually like men with red hair and beards, but there's something about this person that I can't quite put my finger on. If there's a corresponding emotion, then the information will be sent, which would be translated, I feel this man is adventurous and that's what I'm looking for right now. It would be a nice change from my usual type. And then the fun begins. From this point on, the superconscious mind is now cross-referencing everything to all other interactions with the man with the red head and beard. This then provides the mental or emotional charge that will be experienced in the interactions between person A and person B. If the interactions go well, the positive charge is increased and the person may feel that they have good feelings, thoughts, and emotions towards person B. As the charge increases, the mind may interpret it as the emotion of love. And at this point, the perception filter of love gets placed over the interactions. The interactions are now judged based not only on the current interaction, but also the interactions from other lifetimes to date, from the soul's perspective of what love is and should be, and conversely, what love is not and should not be. Each perception filter, emotional, physical, mental, makes it harder to see the reality of any interaction between two human beings. Where the person is in a situation that mirrors an experience that they have recorded in their energy field, and this interaction left an imprint that is unhealed, they will react in accordance to the energy field that is the deepest imprint. And the best way that I can turn this into an illustration for you is I'm going to now share with you from one of our previous sessions, a clip from Katie Carey's regression session. So what's important and powerful about the regression session that I'm about to share with you is that you get to experience a lifetime and you get to see who that person that Katie Carey was married in a past concurrent lifetime was in Katie Carey's current lifetime as Katie Carey. So let me explain this. In Katie Carey's current lifetime, she's divorced. She's been married a couple of times, and both of her marriages have been unhappy marriages. If her soul was to simply have the two marriages that she's had in this lifetime, it would leave Katie Carey's lifetime when she dies with a distinct deep wound and energetic imprint for the mental body and the emotional bodies. Having worked with Katie on a number of occasions, we know that part of Katie's purpose in this lifetime as Katie Carey is to heal love, heal her wounds of love. And so what is particularly powerful that we can see now with hindsight, because this session was recorded a couple of years ago, is that the soul wanted Katie to be ready for her upcoming new love match. Now, if Katie had not attempted to heal her love wounds, the deep imprints about her marriages, which she perceived to be as emotionally abusive amongst other qualities, then she wouldn't be ready to receive a love match that was very, very healing for her. So the key when you're listening to this session is to know the context behind that, to understand why the soul gave her a memory of a lifetime where she was blissfully content and in love with a soul who is named John. So the key for Katie is to understand that love doesn't always have to be terrible and emotionally gut-wrenching for her. In this upcoming clip, what you will understand is that Katie's soul can remember and has experienced before situations with a marriage where she feels loved and supported and feels like she doesn't need anything in the world. All she needs is her husband. But in order to be able to be ready for that, she needed to see an example. Because what happens is if we perceive through our reality filters, our perception filters based on actual bodies, that love is a certain way, then we will not be able to create the reality of something different. So by seeing a contrasting situation to your current situation, you can heal it. Because the soul believes in the trauma of marriage until the soul sees an example where this was not. So this happily led to, I'm not sure how long after it was, Katie met a gentleman named Alan. And as at this current time, Alan and Katie have very happily been in a relationship for over a year now. And so we can see the impact of the healing and how this one lifetime was not only able to counteract our current lifetime, but it was able to show us that the soul can heal through experiencing contrasting situations. I think it was also nice to show that Katie had encountered the soul of John in this lifetime as the little boy that she auditioned with for a musical. She felt a very strong connection to him, and he had turned up many, many occasions in her lifetime, which she talks about on her own podcast, including, living in the same suburb as him. And she could never understand why they hadn't gotten together romantically because she felt this strong connection. The deal was that this little boy, who I can say this because he's no longer incarnated, was John, who she was married to in a previous lifetime. So you can see how the brain that we are gifted with needs to be able to process all of these perception filters to understand why we feel the way we feel about situations, experiences, and people that we have been placed with, and how the eternal mind stream is the most powerful way to shatter your reality and your illusion, whether it be positive or negative, of love, by showing you the contrasting situation to disprove your theory, if your theory is not working in your great favor. If we want to put it in another way, showing Katie this memory from this regression session allows her to have an active spiritual marker in her energy field to infuse her energy field with a recognition of similar energy, so that when her Alan came along and she was introduced to him and she went on a date, he matched the same energy profile or energy markers that reminded her of the experience she had when she was married to the fella named John. The reason that this was organized in advance is the soul needed her to reframe her perceptions and illusions regarding love, because this is the lifetime she needs to heal the deep imprints of love.
Moving through the white light, one, be on the other side of it now. You are in another place and in another time. Look around you. Engage all of your senses and look with your mind's eye. Feel and know through your energy body. Listen with your spiritual ears. What is your first impression? Katie, you can talk to me.
It's a lovely farm. It's going really fast and there's lots of trees over the other side.
Okay, river's going really fast and there's lots of trees over the other side.
And I'm on my own. There's nothing else there, only nature.
Okay, you're in nature. Okay, beautiful. And what do you feel when you're in this nature space?
Being calm and blessed and home.
Okay, beautiful. What can you hear or smell in nature?
The birds. It's the water, really loud. The water's moving really fast.
Okay. And are you sure that there's not anyone there with you?
I see anyone.
Okay, so let's
go. Oh, there's a deer.
There's a deer? There's
a deer. Okay. Deer. It just looked up on me.
Beautiful. And do you come to this place often?
It's my favourite place to be.
It's your favourite place to be?
Yeah, it feels like.
Okay, and have a look down at your feet. Are you barefoot or do you have shoes on?
No, I'm barefoot.
Barefoot. Okay, and do you get a sense of what you're wearing? If you could know what you were wearing, what would you be wearing?
Dress.
And long dress?
A bit raggedy. Yeah, dark colours, greys and browns.
Okay. And do you get a sense of how old you are?
Nineteen.
And do you know what your name is? Can you hear anything? Remember, you can remember everything.
Jesse.
Jesse?
Jesse.
Jesse, okay. And do you know what country Jesse is in right now, where this beautiful place in nature is?
Canada.
Canada. Beautiful. And does Jesse know what time frame this is? What year or what century?
1853.
Perfect. Okay, Jesse, could you please look around and take us away from this nature scene? Because what we want to do is we want to go to see where you live. So you've shown us your favourite place, Jesse. Take us now, move this scene forward to your home, please.
Okay, it's just a little walk away.
Okay. Can you describe it for me?
Yeah, it's like a dark log wood cabin thing.
Okay, and how do you feel when you see it?
Yeah, I love it.
You love it? Okay.
I love it.
Can you go inside the wood cabin, please?
Yeah, it's all wooden floorboards. Big fireplace. And hear the fire.
And who's in the house with you?
There's no one there, but it feels like someone's been here.
There's no one there right now, but it feels like there's somebody should be there?
Yeah, someone's coming home soon.
Okay. And do you get a sense that it's a family member or...?
It's a lover. It's
a lover's coming home.
And there's logs. There's logs there next to the fire, and I'm feeling... loved that he's put them there.
Okay.
He's done that for me.
Okay. Feeling loved that he's put the logs there. And can you fast forward the scene to when he comes home, please? Tell me about him.
He's gorgeous.
Tell me about how does he look, Saint?
He's got this glowing, happy face, and he's just picked me up in a big hug.
Okay, glowing, happy face, and he's picked you up with a big hug.
Yeah.
And what's his name?
John.
John. Lovely. And is John the same age as you?
No, he's older.
He's older. How? A lot older?
30.
He's 30. Okay. And are you two married or just living together?
Yeah, we're married.
You're married. Lovely. And have you been married for long?
No.
Newlyweds.
It's new. It's new.
Lovely. And feel the energy of John. And if you can, look into his eyes. Have a look into his eyes. Is his energy or his eyes familiar to you in this lifetime as Katie Carey?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Who is it, Katie?
It's someone that I was in love with when I was a teenager.
Oh. And do you get the feeling that you two have been together many times before, or just in two lifetimes? Many lifetimes.
Many.
Now, take me a little bit further to what we need to know. Perhaps there's something that we need to see inside this house about this lifetime. What's the wisdom that you're self wishes to tell us about? What does Jessie know? What nuggets of insight does Jessie wish to impart to you today?
She's oh, blocking my phone. She's happy and at home in nature, and that she feels safe, she feels loved.
Okay.
But she doesn't need anything, she doesn't feel like she needs anything. She just feels content and supported and in a really happy space.
Okay, lovely. So I want you to really feel this energy and happiness, Katie. Right, really want you to absorb the love and the feeling of happiness and contentedness that Jessie has right in this moment now. Really soak it in. Because I want you to understand that you have been this level of happy before. You have been this level of contented before. You have had a marriage as wonderful as this before. This is you. It has been and always will be you and can be you in any timeline. So soak it in. Now I'd like you to move it forward to learn a little bit more about yourself in this lifetime. Is there another particular scene that Jessie wishes to show you, or does she wish to jump to the end of her lifetime now so that we can do a lifetime review?
She's showing me that he's still there when she's at the end of her life.
Okay, so at the end of their life,
he's still there.
John is still there?
Yeah.
And what age are you now?
Sixty-two.
So you've been together for a long time. You've had a happy, long marriage.
Yeah, you've got a huge family.
You've got a huge family? Beautiful. How many children in your family?
Father. Five children? 12 grandchildren.
12 grandchildren?
And he's a really strong role model.
He's a strong role model? They all love him. Beautiful. Okay, now, Katie, without feeling any fear, okay, without feeling any pain, I want you to experience how your spirit leaves the body. And I want you to float up high and look down over the scene. Can you see, feel, and hear the appreciation and love that your family had for you?
Yeah.
Okay, you're allowed to release any emotion that you need to release, whether they be happiness or sadness. You led a good and content and happy and wonderful life. Okay. Now, do you wish to stay and witness your funeral, or do you wish to move on and follow the white light?
I want to go. I can't watch it.
Okay. Would you like to follow the white light, or would you like to move to another lifetime?
Can I follow the light?
Yes, please. Okay, Katie, so follow the light. And I want you to feel your body move with the light. Okay, so follow the light up. And I want you to feel yourself floating and drifting and feel the difference between the feeling of being a human and being a spirit. I want you to have a look as you follow the white light. Does it seem to be going fast or slow? Does it seem to be sending you in a particular direction?
Going upwards, right, diagonally.
Okay.
Fast.
Okay, we'll keep following the light. And while you're following the light, you may begin to notice other spots or stars or bright lights or different coloured lights that seem to be beckoning you or calling your name. Let me know when you see one.
See one.
Okay. And what colour is that one?
Red.
Red. Okay. So follow the red sparkly light, because the red light wants to take you somewhere in particular. So what I want you to do is I want you to let me know, get familiar with this red light. Is this red light the red light of a spirit guide, or is it a red light of a loved one who has come to greet you?
It's the same person I just left in that lifetime, and it's taken to this lifetime. And now the red is significant because I know what it means.
Okay. Beautiful. So the higher self of the person that you just left in this lifetime is taking you now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, shaming in this lifetime.
Okay, and where does he want to take you?
The day we met in this lifetime. And the song, that there is a song. We were both auditioning for sharing. There was a song we prepared together. And when he walked into the room that day, there were hundreds of people, and I already knew him. I didn't know him, but I already knew him. I felt it.
Okay, beautiful.
And then we prepared to sing this song together. And it was, Rose, 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 shall I ever see thee red? I'll marry that thou will, and thou but still. And I was mesmerized.
Beautiful. What a wonderful memory.
So I hope that made it really clear for you about how our experiences in other incarnations can help us to heal things that have happened to us in our current incarnation. In our next episode, we'll take the understanding of perception filters further, and we'll use an example from my own so-called past lives to show you how past life experiences of mine with love have negatively impacted my current incarnation. So the opposite to Katie Carey's experience. Today's episode, we showed you how a positive experience from a previous incarnation helped Katie Carey heal her beliefs about love in this incarnation. And next week, we'll show you how it can also be of the reverse situation. So thank you for joining me If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me via the comments on Facebook or YouTube. And if you'd like to actually see what has happened to your soul with respect to any aspect of what you're experiencing so that you can understand what is an illusion and what is your reality, maybe it's in relation to love, then head to katish.com and you can book yourself a session. And we can find out what it is that you believe about love and what is the reality. Let your soul show you a contrasting situation so that you can heal the wounds that are in, or the deep imprints that are in your energy body fields. Until next week, take care of yourself. Namaste.